Ladies and gentlemen, it is the gift of gaming podcast's second birthday. So you know what that means. We watch the Game Awards. What's up? It's me, your host, Darren Wade, and today I'm joined by the console-hating, PC-playing, lore-seeking, full-time Canadian himself, Chris Robbins. And Chris, we stayed up till fucking 4 a.m., watching the Game Awards last night.
It was different though, because we didn't watch them together. But I'm glad I did send that message to the chat, because I wasn't sure who was staying up.
Yeah.
But I needed somebody to send my reaction.
It was good fun, like the little back and forth.
The texting. And yeah. I liked just trying to like guess stuff beforehand.
Putting in who you thought won ahead of time.
Yeah.
Before we get into it, so like I think we're going to go through the awards first, and then as with any Game Awards, the really interesting section is always the big announcements and what games we get or what games we can look forward to. But just off the top, out of 10, what do you give the 2024 Game Awards?
I think this is a solid 10 for me. Like this was good. My only slight gripe, I guess, would be, it is the Game Awards, and that kind of, all the awards just seem to get like rushed along, but let's be honest, most of us are there for the big announcements.
Yeah, for sure.
I was kind of fine with that, actually. And they did give speeches to the right people, and they even introduced the one...
The Game Changer Award?
Game Changer Award. So they did give attention where I guess it was deserved, or where, I mean, it was important.
Yeah.
But like the pacing was good. The scripts seemed a lot better. There was not as many cringy moments.
There was the Harrison Ford not knowing what he had to say next, and then the Aaron
that
Paul.
Happened a couple times though, because there was the two girls that came out, and
had prompter issues throughout the night. I'm interested to like check out on the stuff to see if people do come out and say, oh, there was prompter issues, but Harrison Ford was like looking at ahead of him, and then he was like, oh no, fuck this, and then just went to the awarding.
Yeah,
so I think he was like, the prompter's not working.
The moment he walked out on stage, he's like, oh, what am I doing again?
What is this? It's the first time that I saw Harrison. Yeah, it's the first time that I saw Harrison Ford, and I was like, man, dude's old. Like I just haven't seen him out in that kind of, like, usually he's like being interviewed sitting down or whatever else, but seeing him walk out for Indiana Jones Great Circle with Troy Baker and Todd Howard, I was like, oh, this is Harrison Ford's a bit older than I remember him being. But yeah, that, and there was the Laura Bailey, Aaron Paul kind of little sketch that they were doing, which was like funny, but like should have stopped a minute or so before they did. And
it went on a lot and it almost maybe they're just really good actors, but it started to seem a little more personal.
Yeah. But for myself, yeah, I'm up there with like as Game Awards go, I don't think I've ever given a Game Awards since we've kind of really sat down to watch them. I've been like really into them for about 5 years, maybe. This is the best one I've seen.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10. I think it's always got that pacing problem where you get, and it's understandable because the Game Awards, like, it has to pay for itself. So you get that section usually in the middle.
Somebody's got to pay for Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you get that section where it's just kind of like the shitty mobile games and the advertisements that are like in the last third of the show. And I was like, it is like 20 past 3 in the morning. I'm so tired. And I got that little bit. And in fairness, when I was going to bed last night, I was like, oh, it wasn't a great award show. But I woke up this morning, I looked at some of the announcements that were in it, and I was like, actually, holy shit, we got a lot of good stuff.
It was a banger, yeah.
We got a lot of good stuff.
I can't believe you even went to bed thinking it was a bad... I think it's because it ended on a bit of a lighter or softer note.
It was a slower end then.
And it also had the random Muppets without any sort of Muppet announcement, which... I thought it was a bit weird, but at the same time, those guys are fucking hilarious,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. And it was nice that, like, I like the way the Game Awards can be so, or has shown itself to be, and Jeff Keighley at least, has shown itself to be so self-aware.
Yeah.
Like, having Waldorf and whatever the other guy's name is, like, the two old guys tackling about, like, DLC in the Game of the Year, what's with that? And the show is so fucking long, and all those kind of things. I was like, at least they're aware enough to make the jokes.
Yeah, he's not even the only one that's self-aware. That lunatic that made It Takes Two, that guy's leaning into it.
Haze Light Studios, man. Anytime I see that guy, and I'm glad they get him on every year to, like, because I think last year he jumped on, you know, when in the Game Awards they make the announcements from the side of the stage sometimes.
Yeah,
he was
interviewed
at the side of the stage last year and was a lunatic as he ever is, you know, and it was cool to see him get like front and center to announce their new
we
game.
Fuck shit up and we do it fucking right or whatever.
Yeah. And I was like, because, you know, for us it was late or whatever, but I think over in the US it wasn't past the threshold for like you know, I'm sure profanity and stuff like that, because it started at like 4 p.m. or something over there. So it was funny to have him, you know, because I noticed in the actual trailer, he curses for that game, but it's censored out, it's bleeped out. So I was laughing, being like, man, Jeff must be sitting there being like, oh, this guy's always a risk every time, you know? But to start the show, I guess we've got so much to cover. I'm not going to bother asking you what we've been playing recently, because we've got so much ground to do. But I'm going to go through the awards kind of in... Is this in a particular order? It's in no particular order.
What I'm playing is going to come up in this anyway. So,
Grant, yeah. Bellatro.
No, actually. I've jumped ship. I have a new addiction.
Amazing. I'm looking forward to it. So in kind of no particular order, I'm going to go through the awards that were announced. I might try and just quickly pull up the... nominees for each one as well, just so we have them. Game Awards 2024 nominees. I'm so prepared.
Sorry.
Okay.
It's Friday just after work.
Yeah, and we were up so late.
Yeah.
Okay, so... Oh, this is perfect. I'm actually just going to use... Right, I'm going to take IGN's... listing here. I'm going to go through it in from the bottom to the top of there. So, best esports team.
T1, yeah.
T1 League of Legends winner. I think a lot of people call that. I'm not interested in esports, but a lot of people are saying that. And that's Faker.
Yeah, these were easy. It was T1, League of Legends was the best like esports game, and Faker was the best athlete. It's all tied together.
And Faker's part of T1, right?
Yeah.
So we had best esports game, League of Legends, best esports athlete, Faker, and best esports team, T1. Yeah. As you said, all connected. Content creator of the year. This is an interesting one. Queso, because he was the... I don't know any of them, but you knew Queso, and you said he was a good laugh or whatever. So
I would say on this podcast, I'm probably the one that is most up to date with content creators and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But even on this list, like, Queso is the only name that I was familiar with, my limited knowledge.
Yeah. After that, we had the most anticipated game. And this was
GTA 6.
It was only going to go one way. The other candidates were Death Stranding 2, Ghost of Yotai, Metroid Prime 4, Monster Hunter Wilds, and Grand Theft Auto 6 was never going to lose that. Best adaptation. I was looking forward to this one because I was kind of... The nominees were Arcane, Fallout, Knuckles, Like a Dragon, Yakuza, and Tomb Raider. And to me, I felt it was between Arcane and Fallout. I think my prediction was Fallout. I can't remember.
My vote was Fallout. My prediction was Arcane, just because it's still League of Legends. But I'm very glad, because it was my vote.
Yeah. Fallout took it. Yeah, delighted. I never really played anything Fallout, but I really enjoyed the show. I was like, oh, this is good stuff. Like, easy watching. Get on to some of the more fun ones. We had Best Multiplayer Game. We had Call of Duty Black Ops 6, Helldivers 2, Super Mario Party Jamboree, Tekken 8, Warhammer 40K, Space Marines 2. And delighted, Helldivers 2 took that one. Now, you and me were texting last night when they were about to announce this one. I was hoping it'd be Warhammer 40K, because I had a lot of fun, me and Niall, playing through that game start to finish. I was like, this is it's good fun. But Helldivers, the...
It is a 40K. Yeah, it's a bit better in the story, but like when you get down to the nitty-gritty of the gameplay, I would say Helldivers is just a much more popular version of essentially like the same kind of like, over the shoulder run and gun game.
Yeah, like the co-op in co-op mission stuff in Helldivers or in Space Marines was class, but the multiplayer game was a bit lacking. Like the actual online multiplayer was a bit lacking. Helldivers has got such a sweet recipe
like
though.
To split this into like best co-op game and best like competitive multiplayer or something like that.
Is it so in the post show that we're doing today? This is the first time Chris is hearing about this. One of the things I'm going to be asking is, who out of the games that we know will be out next year, who's your thoughts on who will be Game of the Year winner? And the other question I'm going to ask is, what categories would you kind of fix her up? You know, Helldivers 2, delighted that took Best Multiplayer Game. Then we had Best Sports and Racing Game, and the nominees were F1 24, EA Sports FC 25, NBA 2K 25, Top Spin 2K 25, and WWE 2K 24. I enjoyed Jeff Keighley reading these out, because the fact that it's all based on years is pretty funny. But EA Sports FC 25 took this, and I was a little bit disappointed.
Yeah, the only one with a positive review on Steam is the wrestling, so that was kind of a shocker to me.
I thought F1 might have taken it, given how like it, as the simulator goes, it's an incredibly good simulation game, racing game, but I think it looks unbelievable as well. But yeah, no, that wasn't in it. It was EA Sports FC 25 that took that one. Best sim strategy game, we had Frostpunk 2, Age of Mythology Retold, Kunitsugami, Path of the Goddess, Manor Lords, Unicorn, Overlord.
Frostpunk 2. Yeah, this one kind of shocked me. I didn't think Frostpunk 2 did as well as people were hoping, because people are pretty obsessed with the first Frostpunk. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the only one I had any sort of familiarity with, I think I said I hoped Unicorn Overlord would win it, because I watched the gameplay of that and I was like, that looks like it's actually a good bit of fun. But my prediction was Age of Mythology, just because of the legacy that's with that. But yeah, Frostpunk 2 took it. I mean, again, wouldn't be too into any of those that were there. But we got Best Family Game then coming after that. And we had Princess Peach Showtime, Astro Bot, Super Mario Party Jamboree, The Legend of Zelda Echoes of Wisdom, and The Plucky Squire. Astro Bot took this one. And I'm delighted he did, because I actually thought something like that would go to Super Mario Party Jamboree. The problem I have with Best Family Game is that I always consider it
playing with the family instead of just like
a family-friendly game for kids type thing. Yeah. So I was hoping Astro Bot would take it. My prediction was Super Mario Party Jamboree, but yeah, Astro Bot winner. I'm delighted. This was the first one that was announced on the night. So again, we're doing these in no particular order, but the first one was announced in the pre-show, which is Best Fighting Game. We had Granblue Fantasy versus Rising, Dragon Ball Sparking Zero, Marvel versus Capcom Fighting Collection Arcade Classics, Multiverses, and Tekken 8. And I am delighted that Tekken 8 won that one. I'm not trying to diss Dragon Ball here, or anything else that's on that list, but to me, when you talk about fighting game in terms of the complete package and the skill, etc., that's involved, for me, Tekken 8, if anything else won, I would have been very disappointed.
The only way you could make this category interesting is if you put a Street Fighter, like a new Street Fighter, against Tekken.
Yeah,
if you put them separately, then one of those is going to take their respective categories. Put them together, then now we're talking. Like, there's a debate to be made here.
It's a pity we haven't had a year where
we're so close.
Yeah, so close to have Tekken 8 versus Street Fighter. But then again, there's like, you know, we'll get to it in some of the announcements. Virtua Fighter as a possible new entry into the list. Yeah, you know. God. So it's interesting to see. But the next one was one I was most looking forward to and one I was most disappointed with, I think. This one was Best RPG. The nominees were Dragon's Dogma 2, Elden Ring, Shadow of the Erdtree, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth, and Metaphor: ReFantasio. The whole time I was hoping Final Fantasy VII Rebirth would take Game of the Year, but I said to myself, if it doesn't take Game of the Year, I at least want it to win Best RPG.
I don't think, like, it can, though. Like, if Metaphor wins... we're thinking the opposite here now.
Yeah, so I was hoping... my idea was I want Final Fantasy VII Rebirth to win, but I was like, I'm not quite sure that it will, given the competition in the game of the year. So my hopes then was after that it'd win Best RPG, but unfortunately in this case it went to Metaphor: ReFantasio, which, as we're going to talk about, this thing mopped up throughout the night, in fairness, which was kind of like was worrying me as the night went on, because again, now I'm only going on Craig, and Craig can be very critical about certain things, but Craig was like, this is a good game, but Atlus have made better games than this, and he thought a lot of the dungeons were boring, he thought the music wasn't great, he thought the story was poor, but he's obsessed with Persona 5 and that kind of style of things.
Now you're gonna bring out the critical in me and just like, Squeenix has made better games than that too
than Metaphor: ReFantasio, or than Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
It's just saying, original Final Fantasy, I still stick to my guns on that one. But, you know, each his own. I'm kind of just over RPGs. I don't even want Elden Ring to really be in this category. Well, yeah, you're playing a role, but I always think of RPGs as like the old school turn-based kind of JRPG.
So, and again, we can talk about it a bit more in the post-show, but I'm looking forward to there being a best action RPG and best turn-based RPG, like, you know, if we go
kind of like how we have best action adventure and just best action.
I'd almost change the best action, take best action out of there and make an action RPG almost, because I think most action games tend to have a role-playing system, but we'll talk about that in the post show, you know. Let's not, you know, shoot a load this early. The next one, speaking of which, is best action adventure game. The nominees were Astro Bot, Prince of Persia: The Lost Crown, Silent Hill 2, Star Wars Outlaws for some reason, and The Legend of Zelda Echoes of Wisdom also for some reason. Delighted again, Astro Bot takes this one ahead of the rest of those. I thought Prince of Persia: The Lost Crown might have snuck that one. Reviews of that were really positive. People were devastated when the studio closed.
Well, Prince of Persia couldn't have possibly taken it, just based on the fact that Astrobot was here, and Astrobot is also named for Gotti.
Yeah.
So, like, just, I don't...
If anything is in Gotti, like, if you have a list like this and Astrobot's there, none of the others are in the Game of the Year.
But it's also, it seems crazy that, like, how is Astrobot... Like, oh, I guess it can be a family-friendly game and an action-adventure. It's just like, fucking stay in one lane.
But please. this is where, and we'll get into the post show, but best action-adventure, to me, that the whole best action game and best action-adventure game is one of those two categories I think need the most work. The same as, like, the best debut indie and best independent game. Those kind of four categories I think need a lot of work.
Yeah.
I don't think they're really doing it for me in terms of, like, that. Like, Astrobot shouldn't be in best action-adventure game if it's, you know... I don't know. Against those guys, well, you never know. Well, we go on to best action game, which Astrobot is not included in. And this one, we've got Black Myth Wukong, Call of Duty Black Ops 6, Helldivers 2, Stellar Blade, and Warhammer 40,000 Space Marine 2.
And this was another case of obvious choice here, because it's up for Gotti as well.
Yeah.
And it's Black Myth.
Yeah.
And Black Myth is also, like, part of me really thought it was going to take Game of the Year, just because it also won Player's Voice, which is 100% fan voted, and Golden Joystick Awards, which is also 100% fan voted. Yeah. So just, it's like, how is it clearly the fan favorites, but it's not winning the Game of the Year? It makes me question. Like,
I was browsing the web today and on Reddit, and there was a lot of sour people online, as is the way, given lots of stick about Black Myth not getting the kind of notoriety that it should. But for me, the fact that it won Best Action Game, the fact that it was nominated for Game of the Year, and the fact that it won in two other award divisions, I'm like, that's plenty, guys, you know?
Yeah.
That's plenty. I wouldn't be too sour about that one. But look, it won Best Action Game, and yes, like you said, obvious in what it was up against, considering none of the other candidates in that category were up for the actual Game of the Year. Best VR AR game, we have Arizona Sunshine Remake, Asgard's Wrath 2, Batman Arkham Shadow, Metal Hellsinger VR, and Metro Awakening. I think you and me both had the exact same thing on this, that we both wanted Metal Hellsinger VR to win.
Because I love the idea of
that. But yeah, but both predicted that Batman would probably take this one, and it did. We got a cool, I think it was just an ad during the game awards of, like, it looked like another Metal Hellsinger, like, rhythm kind of game. Not for VR. I think it was just
The Killing Floor 3?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And, nothing like Metal Hellsinger. It's just the ad itself really made the shotgun blast to the beat.
To the beat, yeah. I was, like, looking up and, like, so much Metal Hellsinger vibes here. But again, watching the trailer or the bits that they showed for Arkham Shadow, I was like, it actually looks like it'd be pretty fun. I'm just so not really sure if I'm sold on VR or not.
Sold on VR yet, yeah.
We now go to Best Mobile Game. And the nominees,
how do you see?
AFK Journey, Balatro, Pokemon Trading Card Game Pocket, Wuthering Waves, Zenless Zone Zero. And this is kind of...
The fact that, like, one of these game titles has AFK...
Journey, yeah, it's just
yeah, leave your away phone from running. Keyboard, yeah, yeah, just like idle. You're not even playing the game. Yeah, like, how is that?
It's just gonna burn your points. Like, I hate that. Balatro won here. Delighted. It was cool to see, because we've kind of waxed lyrical about what's the guy's name?
Local Thunk,
about his kind of attitude towards this game, and, you know, what's written in his, as we said, like,
his will to
sell it to casinos and everything like that. Yeah. He didn't want to get up on stage. He was kind of like, I want to, like, just remain anonymous. So we got, like, two of the people
I think they showed him once earlier on in the show, but, like, even
Jeff did say he was in the audience.
Yeah, and earlier on, or then later on when they accepted the award for him, they didn't show him.
Yeah.
So I think he wants to be, like, really out of the limelight, which I can respect.
Well, especially...
I think that's my biggest... that's why I'm not famous, you know, because I don't want to be. But no, that is literally, like, that shit would keep me up at night if everyone, like...
Imagine, that's the thing. Imagine you... Now, again, you or me don't really have, like, massive online presences in terms of social media and stuff like that. But imagine that you were like, hey, this is my game and creating this game. And, of course, you have to have a bit of a social media presence to kind of get that shit out there. But imagine you put the game out there and you wake up the following day and it's just this huge fucking hit and everybody straight away knows who you are and knows what your game is. I'd be like, listen, just love my game, but leave me out of it, type thing, you know. Balatro won that one. I was kind of hoping, And I, like I said, I love Botcher, I love everything about it, but I've been a real fan of the Pokemon trading card game Pocket.
Yeah, I like the idea that it's there too.
Downloaded that and played that a little bit as well. I was hoping, but yeah, Botcher was just, it's too good. We now go to best debut indie game. Yeah. Again, this is where we have the issues. Yeah. Balatro, Animal Well, Manor Lord, Pacific Drive, and The Plucky Squire. No surprises there. Balatro won best debut indie game. But cool to see Animal Well in there, like Donkey's Big Mode. It's the first game they've published or whatever. So, and that's been really well received. So, like, kudos to Donkey and the team there. I'm glad that's getting some of the love it deserves. Then we go into best independent game. Animal Well, Balatro, Lorelei and the Laser Eyes, Neva and UFO 50. It's a pity because I really wanted Neva to win, but seeing Balatro in there, it was Neva
did win something though, something big too,
art direction, right? I think
was it art direction,
I think. We'll get to it. Yeah, which is great because the game looks fantastic. Do you know what I mean? It's really really beautiful.
But they're up against Balatro and there's no fucking chance.
No chance. So yeah, Balatro took away best independent game as well. Then we go to best community support. We have Baldur's Gate 3, Final Fantasy 14, Fortnite, Helldivers 2, and No Man's Sky. Now, before this was announced on the actual show, Chris, I was looking at the amount of ads for Fortnite throughout the... So, Fortnite's now going to do Fortnite OG. They're going back to, like, the original map as a bonus version of Fortnite you can play. They've got a Battle Royale deathmatch, like a different one, like a like smaller maps. They've got a hero shooter. And they've introduced more stuff into the Lego verse as well. The game is fucking huge, man.
Yeah,
Snoop
but I don't.
Snoop Dogg's appearing in it.
Yeah.
Billie Eilish is appearing in it. Okay.
I don't think that's community support though. That's just like, that's like ongoing support or ongoing, like add more content to the game.
True.
To me, community support is engaging with the community and just like, oh yeah, maybe take that into consideration for our next patch notes or just like the Baldur's Gate latest. Like they're always in communication with the community and they're even like trying to incorporate, make modding easier for the community, which is just like,
that's true. Actually, sorry, I should have said, because Fortnite were up for best ongoing game as well, and that's where I probably need to make my point. But best community support did indeed go to Baldur's Gate 3. Delighted for them to still be winning awards.
Yeah, and I called this one. I knew it was happening.
Yeah, I think I was kind of saying that Helldivers 2 probably could have been in with a shout because there was a lot of the stuff where they were listening to the community and nerfing weapons and improving weapons like straight off the bat.
Definitely. And they also, the devs themselves, when the whole Sony account debacle happened, the devs themselves have did express that like we're trying to fight against this too. It's like sorry about this and blah blah blah.
We go to best ongoing game: Destiny 2, Diablo 4, Final Fantasy 14, Fortnite, and Helldivers 2. Delighted Helldivers 2. This is where they won. They weren't expecting this one, I don't think. When they came up to take this was the one that Snoop Dogg actually came out and read it out, announced who the winner was. Him and his son came out.
Oh, is this
I think it was best ongoing game, because they came out and talked about how they have the Death Row Studios and they're talking about doing kind of more.
I don't have a game yet.
I love that because someone shared in the audience being like, and the award goes to, and someone said Death Row or something like that. Someone shouted from the audience to say, oh, your game or whatever else, and his reaction was so good. I'm like, I don't have a game yet.
I didn't like how this won though, because like ongoing support makes me think just like at least over a year, 2 years, or 3 years, or
this
something.
This is after watching all the Fortnite stuff. I thought Fortnite would have been.
I thought Fortnite for sure.
Yeah, but I was like, in fairness, Fortnite's been around since 2017. I think it's won its fair share of game awards in its time. I was glad to see Helldivers get something because I think Helldivers was such a good game this year that I think it deserves something from the game awards. But in the categories it was in, it's like Balatro. It's up against all the GOTY nominees, so it was really going to struggle. Then we go on to Games for Impact. Excuse me, this is where Neva took it. So we've got Closer, The Distance, Indica, Neva, Life is Strange, Double Exposure, Senua's Saga, Hellblade 2, Tales of Kinzara, Zao. And Neva was the one that won Games for Impact. So I'm delighted it took something away from the night because it's such a good game, but in a year that there was probably a lot of bangers. That's also a category that I don't really understand how it's kind of judged.
I've never played any of them, man.
But like just in terms of like the Games for Impact, it's all about like the
how impactful they were.
Like promote social change and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, how do you judge that? Especially for a game like Neva, which is just kind of a beautiful story and it's got sadness and I don't understand. Post-show stuff there. Innovation for accessibility. Call of Duty, Black Ops 6, Diablo 4, Dragon Age of Veilguard, Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown, Star Wars Outlaws. You and me both kind of struggled with this one, I think, when we were talking
about
it.
I thought Diablo... In fairness, I didn't study them all. But, like, based on what I saw in Diablo 4, I was like, this is fucking cutting-edge stuff, man. Yeah. But it was Prince of Persia,
The Lost Crown took it. Yeah, and I don't know anything about the accessibility of that. But fair deuce to the team there for getting it done. Best performance. This was introduced
This was a slam dunk. This was easy.
Yeah. Yeah, we had this was
Harrison Ford's
Harrison Ford, but Troy Baker and Todd Howard came out to announce this, and I've seen so many fucking hilarious pictures online. But I said it to you when we saw it, because Troy Baker must be a very tall guy, and Todd Howard must be a short enough guy. But the two of them standing beside each other, it reminds me of like when we watch rugby.
Aragorn and fucking Frodo.
So people took loads of like a screenshot of this and cropped it, so it's like it's a normal picture if you're taking a picture of Troy Baker, and it's just the forehead of Todd Howard beside him in the picture. I was like, oh god. But they introduced Harrison Ford to come out, and as much as I loved the fact that Harrison Ford was there, I'm not into the idea of getting celebrities out there. Like Al Pacino last year, it's like it's cool that you're getting A-list celebrities, but they don't give a fuck about video games. Harrison Ford,
they really don't. Like, unless you get someone like Keanu Reeves, who's actually like
voice acting, yeah, loves video game, you know, loves like that the video game world, yeah, or whatever.
Or Henry Cavill, who's fucking he's like the alpha geek.
Man, he needs to be on one of these. Actually, he'd come out and do a decent job. But yeah, it was pretty funny. Harrison Ford came out.
Fucked up her name. Like, yeah, you didn't even get the name right. Yeah.
So the best performance nominees were Hannah Tell from Life is Strange, Double Exposure, Brianna White, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, who played Aerith, Humbly Gonzalez from Star Wars Outlaws, Luke Roberts, Silent Hill 2, and Melina Jurgens, Senua's Saga, Hellblade 2. Or Melinda Jurgens as Harrison Ford.
I think it was Melinda Jurgens, he said.
Melinda Jurgens, yeah. What I liked about it was, I think it was that you sent me the message being like, if Harrison Ford...
In fairness, if Harrison Ford got my name wrong, I'd just get it legally changed.
That's whatever like, Harrison Ford.
He acknowledged me as, you know, Carl, then I'm Carl.
Robbins. Hi, everybody. Yeah, it's me, Carl Robbins. How's it going? Yes, that was one of the classic kind of cringy bits of Game Awards. It wouldn't be a Game Awards without kind of one of those moments where people can't read the prompter or Harrison Ford comes out and he's no idea what he's talking about.
Well, like we've seen in the past couple of years, it could be a lot worse.
Yeah. She's well-deserving. I think we both talked about it. I said I would have loved for Brianna White to take it just because of my love for Aerith as a character, and I thought she did a real good job. But there was no doubt in my mind, both our minds, that Melina was going to take it from Senua's Saga, because that's the entire...
Yeah, that's the game.
The game is her performance. Yeah.
Even in the trailers, like where they show the little clips, you could just see the emotion in that character's face compared to the others.
Yeah. It's a big deal. We then go to Best Audio Design. Nominees were Astro Bot, Call of Duty Black Ops 6, Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth, Senua's Saga Hellblade 2, and Silent Hill 2.
And this is another obvious one to
slam dunk. Yeah, Senua's Saga Hellblade 2 won this one. I thought when we talked about the Call of Duty Black Ops 6 might be with the shout, because their audio design is incredible for what is... I mean, I don't think I can play that game competitively at all without headphones and understanding the 360 degree sound, and I think Call of Duty does a really good job of it. But Senua's Saga, again, audio design, performance, that's what the whole game is about. It's kind of that's the pull of it. We then went to best score, or we moved to best score in music. Nominees: Astro Bot, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Metaphor: ReFantazio, Silent Hill 2, Stellar Blade. I was nervous here, Chris, because Final Fantasy hadn't won best RPG.
You were nervous here? Oh god.
I thought Metaphor could have taken this one as well. It was sweeping.
I don't know any of the music about Metaphor, but I thought you were worried about like Astrobot or something.
No,
only song I've heard, I am Astrobot. Like great. There's no way that's taken down Final Fantasy.
Astrobot and Fantasy 2 has some great tunes in it, but like nothing that I'd ever say is award worthy. Like, hey, I really enjoyed that music. But yeah, this one thankfully went to Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Without a shadow of a doubt, I think it's got one of the greatest scores in video game history ever, and I think they've only improved on it in the remake, and it was great to see them go to this Game Awards and come out with something, because it wasn't looking good for a while there. We then go to Best Art Direction, and the nominees were Astro Bot, Black Myth Wukong, Elden Ring, Shadow of the Erdtree, Metaphor: ReFantazio, and Neva. And again, this was one that was brought up a little bit earlier in the show, and Metaphor: ReFantazio took this one. This is where I was like, holy shit, these guys really are cleaning up awards here. Mm-hmm. And to me, this was a big leading team. Like, is this them winning Game of the Year? At this stage of the show,
close,
I was like,
sure.
And so from that one, we go to Best Narrative. And Best Narrative nominees were Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth, Metaphor: ReFantazio, Senua's Saga, Hellblade 2, and Silent Hill 2. And this was another one that went to Metaphor: ReFantazio. I don't know the storyline of the game. I'm looking at that list, and I don't think any of them probably had a hugely compelling narrative. Senua's Saga, maybe, but everything else is just really wacky in that category. Like, there's no, if there was a Last of Us or a God of War this year, that probably would have slam dunk. Yeah. But these are just kind of funny JRPGs with mad kind of storylines, and I guess Metaphor was the best of them. Best Game Direction. Interestingly, this Best Game Direction is, the nominees are an exact replica of the nominees for the Game of the Year. So Best Game Direction goes Astrobot, Bolotro, Black Myth Wukong, Elden Ring Shadow of the Erdtree, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and Metaphor ReFantazio. The Best Game Direction went to Astrobot.
Yeah, which I thought became obvious, because I think even in the description of this, it mentioned something about innovative. And I think this is, like, we literally have a sequel to a remake of a classic game. We have DLC.
We have another
Souls-like boss rush.
Yeah.
Like, Astrobot seemed like the only thing that, like, is a bit a bit different.
And don't get me wrong, it's a platformer, but it's nice to have, because Nintendo's the kind of the platforming king. It's nice for someone like Sony to come out with a huge, like, big quality platforming game. That, like, you know, with all the new PS5s, the haptics and everything like that in that game are great. It's kind of, I think, probably innovative in that way. But yeah, Best Game Direction, Astrobot, that was great.
With any luck, they'll dust off the old Jack and Daxter, Ratchet and Clank and all that shit, right?
I'd love to see it, you know. We got a Game of the Year. The nominees were Astrobot, Bolotro, Black Myth Wukong, Elden Ring Shadow of the Erdtree, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and Metaphor ReFantazio. And before I announce the winner, the person who comes out to read out the winner is the previous winner from the last year, and this is
takes a huge steaming AAA dump.
Oh man, I loved it. For your man from Larian Studios, Baldur's Gate 3, to come out, and I think his whole shtick was, I've seen who wins Game of the Year for the next 10 years, an Oracle told me, and basically the games that win for the next 10 years are games who are game developers who look after their employees, are not about the bottom line, who make games because they love to make games, are not about filling people's pockets with money, are not about microtransactions. And I was sitting here listening to this guy being like, holy shit. But I loved it, man, because it's, you know, and we'll get to, when we talk about the Game Changer Award and when we talk about the announcements, this year needed something. Last year, in 2023, we covered so many news stories where it was just fucking people losing their jobs, left, right, and center. And the Game Awards never touched on it. Like, they didn't say anything last year, which was really disappointing. And I was
waiting to see. I bet you that's why this guy put it in his speech. He's like, well, somebody's got to fucking,
because, I mean, now we were like, I think the Game Awards did a good job this year at addressing it in a clever way where they don't, themselves don't have to make an exact statement. They got someone else to. But the fact that, like, this guy probably came on from Larian Studios and was like, I don't know if they're going to say anything, but I sure as fucking hell am about the state of the game industry. So he comes on, has that, takes a big old dump at AAA big studios who are fucking people up with crunch and, you know, laying people studios off. And someone made a great joke being, I think I saw online, that I hope Phil Spencer isn't sat next to anywhere near this guy, because with the amount of, like, studio acquisitions and sell-offs of jobs, whatever else. But he came on and announced, unexpectedly, I thought, I was really leaning towards Metaphor winning this one, but Astrobot took Game of the Year.
Astrobot, I like to see it. To me, this actually finally came down to Astrobot, Metaphor, and Black Myth. I think those were the only three in the running up to at this point in the show. Just because
they'd had a couple of previous awards leading up to this point. Yeah, I was delighted with it. It was great. They came out and made a nice speech. Interestingly, bringing up Super Mario and maybe saying the name.
Man, he had this, like, kind of off-color comment about, like, you all know who I'm talking about. I'm not allowed to say it, or something like, I'm not going to say it.
Yeah, say the name.
He's like, because we're all saying, like, it's Nintendo. Yeah. But obviously he's doing, like, some game or an acceptance speech for a Sony mascot game, so.
You don't really bring in.
Yeah, you don't want to mention, like, but makes me wonder if, like, Sony's crazy about that. Like,
no,
how dare you mention Nintendo?
I don't think so, because I think, like, Sony, as they said, the PlayStation Studios put their support into Team Asobi, who made Astrobot. And if that's where they get their inspiration from, to make a game that is going to, or that has just won Game of the Year, I'm like, if you want to talk about your, you just open the can, just fire away.
Yeah. Apologize to anyone who might hear this.
Nice, yeah, fresh. But no, it was just nice to see them, like, talk about their inspirations. And let's face it, like, you know, I don't think, again, I don't work for Sony, so I'm not concerned about any of these kind of things. I'm just a gamer who enjoys video games. I like the idea that someone would come out and talk about the OG when it comes, like, Astrobot is a 3D platformer that's just won Game of the Year. Of course you're going to talk about fucking Mario. Like, that's, you know, the basis for any good 3D platformer has come, I think, from Nintendo and Super Mario. I'm glad you didn't mention Nintendo. We just mentioned Mario, but maybe mention Nintendo was probably a step too far. But yeah.
Nintendo would probably sue him. How dare you?
We never gave you permission yeah. to name us. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Dare utter my name.
So now we're going to go to names. I suppose this is the real treat of the Game Awards. And for me.
Yeah, all that was housekeeping. Now we're getting to the good stuff.
This is why we watch it. You know, yeah. I love some of the awards, but I was here for the announcements. And Chris. This year had some of the
fucking
top announcements.
Bangers.
Yeah.
My biggest problem with the announcements is because my personal taste, they started off so fucking strong that like by the end of it, I was just like,
And there was, I think what was nice with these announcements where I think there was like games for everybody. Like there was a couple of announcements that I was like, oh yeah, I could take or leave that. But there's definitely going to be people who were super pumped about some of the announcements that were made. In the pre-show, we had a couple of announcements. Dave the Diver in the Jungle expansion. I thought it was a sequel, but it is just an expansion. We were talking about it last night. Coming in 2025. Dude, I'm delighted. I mean, I've told you how if Dave the Diver was out this year, it probably would have been my game of the year for 2024. So delighted I've just finished it, platinumed it, and I'm going to get an expansion for In the Jungle next year. Trailer looked great. Like, fucking had a cool tune. Them all
more crossovers, too, I think. Oh, no, that was Blatro.
Blatro was the king of crossovers from last year, yeah. We got Pal World Fae.
Loved it. See it in a time where they're getting fucking openly sued by Nintendo, like everyone's just like put them on the show.
Let's just watch them. And it's funny
we
because
want this content.
I haven't paid much attention to like Pal World trailers or gameplay, like I haven't really gotten into it, but it was so funny watching that, like with the knowledge that they're currently being sued, to see like they're 100% Pokemon. Do you know what I mean? Like dropping from the cliff and your man's fighting them. I'm like, this is so Pokemon. But it was funny towards the end of the clip of this Fae Break expansion. They have like this dude fighting a fisticuffs fight with a Pokemon that's pretty funny. And then a girl rocks up with an AK-47.
That's the main character.
Is the guy who was fighting the...
No, the girl.
The girl.
That would be the player character.
She rocks up with an AK-47 and starts shooting Pokemon. And I was kind of watching it being like, these feel like defenseless kind of... That was my first real experience kind of like seeing the gameplay of Power World. I was like, holy shit. So that looked great. I'm sure some people are going to love that. Chris, I'm going through these in no particular order, right?
Okay.
As the things. But the next one, I fucking love the look of. Rematch. The guys, the team behind
The soccer game. This looks like an actual like soccer game. In a world where we have like shit like FIFA never ever felt like a soccer game to me. It's almost like tactical because you can see everything. Rocket League feels more like actual soccer than FIFA games ever do.
This is behind. Like, I mean, I know in FIFA you can do the thing where you select a player to play as on the team and you just control them and request passes, blah, blah, blah. But watching this, I was like, man, this absolutely. It's hidden.
It's going to slap. You know? It looks good. I was a little disappointed because it's made by the same people that made Sifu. And once I saw him in a soccer uniform, I thought for sure this was going to be Shaolin soccer.
Yeah.
I thought for sure, but it looks like it's going to be a bit more
realistic.
Down to earth.
But I think I like that. I think.
No, I wanted Shaolin. Have you ever seen Shaolin soccer? It's a goated movie.
But we've got the ridiculous soccer games and we've got the kind of the cemented soccer games in the FIFAs and the PESs. I'm looking forward to like quite a successful indie game coming in and being like, we're going to make a realistic, it feels like you're playing soccer.
Yeah.
Sorry for the background noise. My cat is attacking the Christmas tree. I'm delighted for that. Looks great.
Yeah, I think it looks, and I don't care for soccer at all. So
no.
It's nice to like that. This got my interest.
Yeah. 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 It looks great. Shadow Labyrinth is the Metroidvania Pac-Man game, which you've seen the Secret Levels episode.
I haven't actually seen the Pac-Man. I think I fell asleep during the Pac-Man one because I put them on late at night and just pass out. But
what a take for Pac-Man.
I'm kind of into it. I mean, I love the idea. Like, I love Metroidvanias. I just like Pac-Man is such a weird franchise to put a spin on this with.
Yeah. But it's like not done before. We know the Pac-Man recipe. I'm kind of keen to be like, this is like a darker kind of Metroidvania Pac-Man.
Yeah.
Like, I could look for, like, it might not and be the, good, but
the little guy's name's Puck, which is a reference to original, like, the
was that what they called?
He was originally called like Puck-Man
instead of Pac-Man. Yeah, I love that. So that looks interesting. Then we got Slay the Spire 2, Early Access coming 2025. You're a Slay the Spire fan, right?
Every day, baby. I got like 500 hours just on my phone alone with it. I love Slay the Spire, and this is the first time we got actual like gameplay.
Yeah.
And it looks good.
Looks all right. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, Ambrose is stepping
just
on the
walk right on your laptop.
Let's hope that hasn't canceled the podcast. No, we're good. We're good. Yeah, okay. After that, we got this again in no order, but the first Berserker, Kazan,
yep.
Coming in March 2025. Great looking trailer. I think Ben Starr from Final Fantasy 16 fame as Clive is playing the Berserker, if memory serves me correctly. That looks, I mean,
trailer looked great.
No idea about the game though.
Yeah, the people who announced this though, it was just like it was a lot of kind of star power. Jeez, that cat just don't give a fuck about our podcast.
Oh my god, he is wrecking everything right now.
Go get.
No, not on the laptop. Oh my god, I just make sure we're still recording, Chris. We're still in it. We're still in it. Okay. All right, thank God. But yeah,
a lot of star power behind the announcement for a game that, like, I don't think anyone's like overly hyped for.
No. I think we've, again, no gameplay, so I can't get excited about it. Like CG, like the CG trailer looked amazing, but so did the CG trailer for Diablo 4, and that wasn't what it was meant to be, really.
Yeah.
We got Thick as Thieves, which is kind of like a multiplayer stealth stealing kind of game. You're like tasked, it looks like, to like steal
four,
a certain...
I heard about this a bit. Four people are dropped into a world, and they're all on the same mission and a race to see who can heist first, like whatever you got to steal.
I love the concept. I don't know if it can be delivered though.
It'll be tough. Tough
to deliver something like that. Earlier on in the pre-show, we got Ninja Gaiden Ragebound coming summer 2025.
So fucking stoked. Yeah. And I'm so glad it's a classic Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah.
Not
trying to remake it. It's
Devil May Cry type.
Here's the pixel art. Enjoy yourselves. Then we got Turok Origins, a co-op dinosaur hunting game. Like this,
sure,
this is
why not.
this was like late 90s, like these announcements were like late 90s nostalgia injections for me for a lot of these games, like Turok.
Turok was just so out of left field.
Yeah, Ninja Gaiden, and there's another one I'll bring up now as well, which was an incredible trailer, and I rewatched it again today, and I actually am super excited. Onimusha: Way of the Sword.
yeah.
And so for me, when I was in secondary school, high school for you, Onimusha 2 was a game that I just played to death. Loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Oh god, it was so early for me. I remember a bit. I remember definitely playing it. It was like Resident Evil, wasn't it? Is that what I'm thinking of?
No. It was more kind of like a, how would you say? Like you had way more freedom than Resident Evil in terms of old Resident Evil games, movement-wise. Mm. Kind of like I'd say like a small RPG, like a couple of items, a couple of customizations that you can do. It's just you and your sword and your kind of your powers and going through kind of Japanese villages. You can do it stealthy or you can attack the guys. Came across some devils. I really enjoyed it as a kid, played it loads, and I saw this trailer. I was like, damn, it actually looks really, really good, but that's not till 2026. No release date other than 2026. Moving on from that, we got a teaser, which is probably one of the worst announcements. We got
the Sonic one,
Sonic Racing Cross Worlds. Yeah.
God, yeah. Not only is it the worst character of Sonic, it's just like
so much.
I know it, and it's just 3 seconds of like, who cares, man?
Yeah, it was such a short. I was like, great. Like, this
was it
Sonic
necessary
Racing
to like drop that at a Game Awards?
Yeah, I think it's all just in promotion of the movie. Do you know what I mean? Get something out there to make people talk about it. We got from the guys who do the Yakuza games. We get Project Sentry, which is a in Japan, set in 1915. Again, looks like it's going to be a bit of a wild time. Your man just kept getting into fights throughout the entire
Yeah, kind of like what they were doing with, because there was a Mafia Origins announcement. So this looks like Yakuza Origins.
Yeah, pretty much. We got a Virtua Fighter Returns.
That shit got. Man, this one was weird because we're still waiting on Virtua Fighter 5 Revo, which was announced. So I thought, it's like, new gameplay. And then, like, watching more and more, I was like, those graphics are really fucking good. And then all of a sudden, it was just like new Virtua Fighter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they did a showcase. Like, I didn't catch the showcase because it was fucking like 10 after 4 in the morning. But they did a showcase on Virtua Fighter after.
Because it was the 13th. Yeah. So, yeah, I thought it was today, but it would have been today for us anyway. But that would be one to check out. I'm just delighted, man. Like, seeing Street Fighter kind of hit the reset button and go for a new game in Street Fighter 6. Seeing Tekken, what they've done in Tekken 8, I'm delighted. And now Virtua Fighter's on the case. I'm like, yes, guys.
This is crazy.
Games, let's go.
I think the floodgates are open. I think I think we're going to see Soul Calibur come back. We're like Bloody Roar, Primal Rage, yeah. like all the old fighting games.
I'm looking
like,
at
now's the time, boys.
Yeah, I'm looking at the way they've done this, and to me, Soul Calibur seems like the next obvious contender to bring back. And if you want to do crossovers because they're so popular now, like Soul Calibur is the for me when I remember playing fighting games growing up, Soul Calibur was the crossover game. Do you know what I mean? In a big way.
Speaking of crossover, should we get right into that?
Tekken 8.
Yeah.
So now I was immediately disappointed, but then the moment I thought about it for a second, I was like, this looks great. We got Clive Rosfield from Final Fantasy 16, who is a character I'm a big fan of in the Final Fantasy world, as protagonists go. He's up there. Announced as the final DLC for the first DLC pack for Tekken 8. He looks wild, man.
Yeah, he looks good. And he does have that like demon transformation, kind of like the.
He's a perfect kind of like almost Kazuya. like a devil kind of an extra devil character.
He just like the moment they have a weapon like that, it just feels out of
this is why when place. I say I was immediately disappointed was because my hopes for the last character, given the timing with Final Fantasy and everything, would have been Tifa.
Maybe we'll get her in Street Fighter because she would definitely like. There's no one else but Tifa that would fit. In Street Fighter,
yeah, if from a crossover perspective, unless it's sort of fighting games, yeah. But he looks great, and I said it was a cool announcement trailer, and his moveset looks great. And what I'm really looking forward to is the map looks class, but the music. Some of my I love Final Fantasy VII battle music. Final Fantasy 16 has got a couple of tunes in it that absolutely are so good. And I was watching the trailer, being like, oh, they've got the absolute like the actual fighting theme in there, so that's going to be great. We got a big kind of cutout for Borderlands 4, big kind of trailer.
Yeah.
I'm delighted for Borderlands people. Like it's hugely popular. Not popular enough to make a good movie, unfortunately, but I'm sure some people would be happy. It looks like it's going to be a big old Borderlands game. Same recipe, I'd say.
Yeah.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it, but I was never interested really in the first place. Borderlands,
no. I had one night of Borderlands of... Yeah, I don't know. I burnt out in one night on it.
Me and Andrew played through Borderlands 2 together in its totality. And I really enjoyed it for what it was, but I had no interest then in Borderlands 3 when it came out. I was like, nah, if it's the same thing, I think I've played everything it's got to offer, essentially.
It's also one of those games, like, I do like the art style until I play it for a few hours and I get, like, really flush and just kind of, like, a headache. Like, yeah. It's a bit...
It's a lot. Yeah.
Too many, like, lights and shit going on in my face.
We got some PC announcements then after that. We got Final Fantasy VII Rebirth coming to PC on the 23rd of January.
Yeah, pretty soon. That's, like, 5 weeks away. It's already available for pre-purchase on Steam for a discount, actually. I think it's, like, 43.
Nice, yeah.
But I need to play it just because of the history I have with Final Fantasy VII. But I feel like... It almost feels more of a duty than something I want to do. And, like, the problem is if they have, like a Squeenix sale, like, I'm much more interested in playing Final Fantasy 16. Like, wholeheartedly really want to play that game. Whereas this one, I was just like,
You didn't really enjoy 7 Remake Part 1, sure you didn't? Wasn't really.
I enjoyed it. I got through it. Some parts were a bit tough.
That's not a positive line. I got through it.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a little linear, but then again, Midgar always kind of was, so that's fine.
Making a full game out of that.
Yeah. I thought the combat was fantastic, and there were some like funny parts that I enjoyed.
So
I liked it.
Looking forward to 16, but are you looking forward to The Last of Us Part 2 Remastered coming to PC on the 3rd of April, 2025?
Yeah, I still have to get through the first remastered.
There you go. Yeah. But cool, they're coming to PC. I'm happy to see.
Well, I always knew that was going to come.
Yeah, I think most Sony games exclusives just take their time. Sometimes it's a year, sometimes it's two. I'm actually surprised that Rebirth managed to get there
pretty
under
quick.
A year. Within a year is pretty impressive. We then got I thought it was a cool, funny trailer for The Outer Worlds 2 coming in 2025. Fun trailer. It looks like a fun game. I never played the first one. But this is one of those moments where I was like, people were quite positive about that game, and I'm delighted they're getting the second one. And the second one just looks like
There's a part of me that like really wanted to just like text Luke, and then I remembered it. It's not
Outer Wilds.
He's Outer Wilds.
He's Outer Wilds. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those two confused the
and
fuck
they,
out of
they
me.
Came out, Outer Worlds and Outer Wilds, I at think both came out time. The same year. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So that didn't help at all. Then we move on to Hazelight Studios and our lunatic friend, director of Hazelight Studios.
Split Fiction.
Coming out of Split Fiction, which looks fucking great.
So good,
man.
So good.
So for those of you who are listening and haven't seen the trailer, of all the trailers or announced that we're talking about so far, this is what I'd really recommend in terms of how involved it looks. You've got two characters. Both have created a world. One's big into sci-fi, the other's big into fantasy. And much like It Takes Two, it's a co-op game where these two characters fall into each other's worlds, and it just looks like a fucking riot of a time. Looks great.
Yeah, it's a spiritual successor to It Takes Two, I think.
Yeah, yeah. A bit more mature, possibly. But yeah, he was great, man. Him coming on announcing that game and telling us, saying his wife is beautiful and his kids are great and everything. I was like, this dude's just
all
fucking...
while like flipping the bird. Like, he's just like, fuck this, fuck that, fuck this.
Yeah, yeah. He's always great to have on. This next announcement, Yumi, you're about like, I don't even know what I watched. So Aaron Paul and Laura Bailey came out to talk about this game, Dispatch. I was kind of a little bit like, oh, this little skit they're doing is going on too long. And then I watched Dispatch and I don't know what I watched.
I think it's one of those text-based story games where you just like choose an answer.
And I think the big thing in it is the voice acting cast. Yeah, it's got a huge cast. Yeah, I mean, it's art style that's kind of got like Arcane-y vibes, the TV show Arcane vibes in that kind of...
I thought it looked like Into the Spider-Verse.
Sorry, yeah. Okay, yeah. That's probably a bit more accurate.
In fact, the main character looked like the old Peter Parker to me, like almost identical.
True, the one that Aaron Paul plays. Yeah. Actually, yeah. So yeah, I don't really know. And that's the thing where I'm like, okay, cool that you're throwing all these names at us and we're getting to hear them speak, but like I need to know what kind of fucking game I'm getting into here. And I think that was one of those trailers that I was like, not a good trailer. Could be a great game, not a great trailer. We got to see Mafia: The Old Country coming summer 2025.
Mafia: Old Country or Origins?
The Old Country is what it's called, yeah.
Oh, okay, my bad. I already fucked that I think up it's, earlier in this podcast.
It's based in Old Italy. So, like, they're using, like, knife fights, like, old gangs, you know what I mean, with the switchblades and stuff, you know?
Tie their arms together.
Yeah,
just like the
old
school, like, fucking Michael Jackson music videos.
Looks, yeah.
I think it was Michael Jackson. I can't remember.
But Mafia looks, I mean, I never played a Mafia game, but The Old Country looks good. It's a kind of storyline, I think, I mean, you know me, I love the big heavy narratives, and that one kind of spoke to me a little bit, Old Italy. And, like, I was watching the one, what was it called, Project, oh my god, I can't find it here. The
Project Robot. The
no. We'll get to that one. The one that the Yakuza. Oh, Project Century. The Yakuza one based in 1915. Because I looked at that and be like, oh, I love something like that, but that one's too silly. Like that's too silly in a
like
way
silly,
for me.
Though. I love
silly, but if we're gonna do ye old times, I kind of want to give me a good hard hitting story. But Mafia looks like it would do a lot for me. Summer 2025. I might give that a look when it comes out. This next announcement, Chris, we should probably spend a bit of time on because I think it's worth it. We've covered so much in news. Was they announced the Game Changer Awards, which is a new award that they're giving to people who have been exceptional advocates for the gaming industry. And this award for the award this year went to an individual called Amir Safat. And I was saying to you, like, God, this whole section seems so wholesome. But I really enjoyed his speech. I really enjoyed what it was doing. So just to give people a bit of background if they haven't seen it, this guy was big into the gaming, like the gaming industry, wasn't a part of it, but was following it, loved it, was posting videos, but you know, like kind of silly videos on YouTube and stuff like that about how to get jobs and this, that, and the other. But when so many people lost the jobs in 2023 and 2024, he kind of wanted to do something a bit more, and he set up kind of like...
Yeah, he wanted to, he saw an opportunity to use his skill set that has never been, I think he said, never been really valuable to the gaming industry, which is data that, processing
yeah,
or something.
Like, yeah,
essentially, yeah.
So he just put together all this massive list of like jobs that are going in certain areas where people have lost their jobs. And then there was like 2,300 volunteers have joined his team who kind of give talks to help people get back up on their feet and get back into the video game industry. And his speech was fantastic. Like, I loved this.
Yeah, pretty emotional, yeah.
Yeah, had a little bit at the end because I think he was from, I can't remember where he was from, but it's kind of out of the way of the video game industry, some part of America. And I love that he said, like, oh, I never thought, you know, being from wherever, I was always so far from the video game industry. And then he said, but not anymore. And he got like a standing ovation and got quite teary. And I was like, what a wonderful thing. But important that they addressed that. I was really wanted the Video Game Awards and Jeff Keighley to address the fact that so many people have lost their jobs and game companies aren't really doing it. But I was like, will they or won't they? And I kind of thought, will they get someone else in to do it?
They should have different sections where they just put all the shithead CEOs and like companies in one section and then like give everyone else in the theater a bunch of tomatoes.
just throw at them. At the, yeah. Like, all those, but it was a clever way to bastards. It was a clever way to address it, because Jeff Keighley came in and said, we don't at the Game Awards, we've never known how to approach this. And I was like, that's fair, if that's reasonable. But they got this guy in to be like, here's a positive story that we can, you know, it helps us focus on the fact that people are losing their jobs and the industry is in a bit of a crisis mode, but that this guy can, there's people out there who are doing good. There's good news stories, yep, as well. Love that. The next one, I think, Chris, this was my favorite announcement. And this comes from Gen Design, who previously made Shadow of the Colossus, Ico, Last Guardian. This is an untitled thing. It's so far going as it's Project Robot.
Yeah, and it looked really fucking cool. It looked, well, all their games have looked reminiscent of Shadow of the Colossus. And that's my biggest fear here, because I've been chasing that high
ever since.
Yeah. And like Last Guardian,
man,
wasn't
we watched that.
Project Ico was just like, or Ico or whatever the fuck. Yeah. It was just a really long, annoying, what is it called?
Just pull the other person along with you.
Yeah. Escort mission.
Yes.
The worst of the missions, man.
I enjoyed Ico, but like I couldn't play through it again now. Shadow of the Colossus was an absolute, still to me,
masterpiece.
And then Last Guardian didn't really do it for me. I bought it but never finished it. It was just kind of too,
I thought it was pretty buggy, wasn't it? Controlling that big dog thing.
It didn't really work. But man, this trailer starts off with like this person counting down from 60 seconds, and they've got like a cool voice as well. It's like 60 seconds, and I'm like, oh, what is this? And then you see this dude climbing up this robot.
It looked very reminiscent.
I was like, but the music is so Shadow of the Colossus as well. Like the music comes in and I was like, oh my God. But it's basically this guy is climbing to the top of this mech or this robot and gets into the head part of it as this shockwave of something in the world is coming to destroy him. And he flies off into the sky a little bit with the headpiece that separates from the body.
Yeah.
The body of the robot gets destroyed by the shockwave, and then it ends the thing by the shockwave taking out the head, and we don't know what happens to the main character. But oh my God, this trailer sung to me. I was like, I want this game immediately.
Like my mind's racing now, and like the way your cutting boards are kind of like lined up against each other, it looks like a Colossus to me now.
What other Colossus can we see in the apartment, Chris? Yeah. But I've been waiting for, like, because it's been so long. Last Guardian was like 2015, 16.
Yeah, and it's crazy that I think they did do a remaster of the Shadow of the Colossus. I didn't hear anything about it, but I think it was worse, right?
Which?
The remastered version of Shadow of the Colossus?
The remastered version of Shadow of the Colossus was amazing. It looked great, but it still played the exact same. So I was playing a current-gen version of Shadow of the Colossus, but it was still as clunky as fuck. So that was quite a jarring way to play the game, but definitely worth a playthrough. Like, I still have it. Last Guardian came out in 2016, so we are talking about 8 years since we got a game from Gen Design. So delighted. That one looked class. That was the one that got me the most pumped, I think. We got Elden Ring Nightreign.
Here's my most pumped. Right here. This shit blew my fucking mind. And I knew the moment I saw them rocks, I was like, that's Elden Ring. Or Dark Souls. It's From Software. I was shaking. What is happening?
And it's funny, there's a couple of the trailers that I've watched other content creators online react to. And the Elden Ring always gets it because people are watching it and they see even certain architecture in the trailer and they're like, oh, Elden Ring! Just getting so pumped. So it's looks like a kind of like a boss rush multiplayer almost.
So they have described it. Because even in the trailer, you can see like that wall of like that haze moving in. So it's going to be like a battle royale where you have like three in-game knights, and like that ring keeps getting smaller and smaller that accumulates in a fight against some sort of like big boss. Yeah. And it's all like, it's roguelike, so it's random. It kind of sounds like, it's a weird way to describe it, but it's a multiplayer kind of like co-op battle royale, like roguelike Monster Hunter type shit going on. Which
looks
is
interesting.
Very cool. Standalone game, which I was surprised. And it's, I think, it's going to be, I don't know if it's going to be multiplayer only, but it's definitely a heavy focus on multiplayer. And Miyazaki has even come forward. He mentions mods on the game, and he said he's been keeping a particularly close eye on the seamless multiplayer mod, because I don't know if you've, like, the Souls games, you summon somebody into your world, you beat the boss, and then they just fade away to the ether.
Yeah.
People have modded the game, so that doesn't happen. It's seamless. Like, they're always there. Like, they're always going to be connected to your world. And he loves it. He loves the fact that people have been doing this. And he's like, you know what? Now maybe is the time to dip our toe. So I think this is kind of... I think it's going to be a smaller game, but it's just going to be like a beta test for something bigger. So they're going to start...
And it's out next year, which is quite surprising, considering how long people were...
Well, it's an asset flip.
Yeah.
It's an asset flip.
Essentially, yeah. I'm stoked for
it, though. I'm all about it. And some of the new moves look crazy. The Nameless King was in the fucking trailer, which
Bloodborne, right?
No, Nameless King was like the big secret bad of Dark Souls 3.
Oh, Dark Souls 3. Okay. Yeah. Sweet.
And I think I saw the Centipede Demon, which is Dark Souls 1.
So it's like
I think it's like, you know,
a collaboration, a celebration of the Souls games. That's pretty cool. I like that, though. That's a cool thing to do with it as well. If you're not taking the game so seriously, it's more of a fun collection of stuff. Go for it. We then got, towards the end, we got a Okami 2 kind of unveiled with the orchestra, the Game Awards orchestra. Pretty cool. Unveiling for it, but again, it showed nothing. It's just that they've announced it started its production, which is cool for the fans. But
this was also like the big...
Well, there was it was announced
the kind
as the
of
last,
I guess the penultimate announcement.
It was announced as the last announcement. Before we get on to the last announcements, and like I want to do the last and the first kind of announcements because I think they were fairly big ones. But there's a couple of there's four more I've got here before we get into those two. Screamer, which looks like a kind of like a street racing kind of game, cool animation style. We got a little bit of a teaser of that
Need for Speedish
kind of thing that looked cool,
but like cartoony.
We saw some Path of Exile 2 gameplay.
Speaking of, I'm so fucking addicted to Path of Exile 2.
Is that what you're into now?
I'm playing it nonstop. That night we went to the pub about a week ago because I was already like on the fence about it because everyone on my friends list is playing this fucking game, and then Niall said, he's just like, yeah, I'm picked it up, like, I'm gonna start playing it. And I was just like, oh shit, I haven't even seen you on Steam in like 2 years.
So, yeah.
So I'm fine, fuck it, I'll try it. And it's everything Diablo should have evolved into after Diablo 2. It's so good.
Amazing.
Slow and hard. Like, it's very, very hard. I don't mind that, but it does have its kinks here and there. And it is early access, so it's not a fully fleshed out. Like, you see entire like trees, like, we don't have all the classes, and you see entire like skill trees that are just like are labeled coming soon and stuff like that.
Oh, cool. So. Okay. Yeah. So more to come. Cause I saw that on the PlayStation store, it's available. And I was like, oh, I thought that was going to be a PC only.
Apparently it runs really well with controller. So
that was the thing I was excited about. Cause I played a lot of Diablo 3, like myself, Craig, our mate Andy, who's over in New Zealand, and I think maybe Kev, all of us played Diablo 3, like a lot. We went through that game, essentially. I really loved it. Was excited for Diablo 4, and that just never stuck with me. I was like, this game's okay. It's not what I wanted. But if Path of Exile 2 is the true successor to what Diablo game should have been, I could be persuaded. Is it cross-play?
So Diablo changed a lot going into 3. So, like, this is more akin to Diablo 2, which I still say is, like, one of the greatest games of all time. But, like, a lot of people, when they jumped into Diablo at 3, going back to 2 might be a bit jarring for them because it is a bit slower, and it doesn't quite have the same dopamine rush. Like in Diablo 3, you're just like blitzing around a screen, shit's
getting
exploding,
a million things all the
like
time.
Fucking so many rare drops all around you. Like that didn't happen in Diablo 2. Like it was a slow process, but it was much better and I think much more rewarding in that aspect.
Yeah, nice. They look great.
Yeah, crossplay, I don't think so, at least not yet.
Yeah, I'm considering it. I'll have a look. It's just that I've got so much, so many things, especially for 2025 now. There's a lot of games.
I think PoE 2 might be up for Gaudi next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got a cool little look at Steel Hunters, like that mech game.
God, that was another exciting one for me.
Yeah, and it's weird because it kind of came in the advertisement section. It wasn't really announced or anything like that. It was just in the ads, and I was like, what the fuck is this? This looks amazing, but
We got this, and we also got we got that Project Robot, and we got another trailer for Mecha Break.
Yeah.
Which all satisfied that, like, feeling I had
when you were playing Armored Core,
but Yeah, I still miss Armored Core. And Secret Level just came out, and it has an Armored Core episode with some fucking star power behind it. And that made me think that they were going to announce an Armored Core at this show.
Oh, shit. So
but I got my mech fix. Yeah. Tomorrow. And very different. Like, we got the we got the Armored Core clone and, like, the more slow, methodical, like, I would say mech warrior is more akin to what Steel Hunters is going to be.
Yeah. Look great. I was looking at both of those ones. I was like, these, especially, what's the mecha? Is that the
Mecha Break? Is mecha the break, fast, the like, fast animation.
Yeah,
like,
that one looked amazing. Yeah. We also got Black Frost The Long Dark, like a little survival game. Early access is coming in 2026. It was a very early kind of teaser trailer, but that's the one that's kind of done in the, you know, like the Telltale games, the Game of Thrones and all, Walking Dead. We're kind of doing that
like
style.
Game for Impact. Kind of style. Yeah.
So let's get into what the first announcement and the last announcements were in the world premieres. First announcement came from CD Projekt Red. We got to see our first look at The Witcher 4. What a fucking banging trailer.
I understand starting off with a bang, but like...
How do you follow?
Yeah, too much, man. I mean, yes, Elden Ring was still probably my favorite announcement, but I think overall, like... And this was out of left
trailer.
Field.
Yeah.
Like, nobody saw The Witcher 4 dropping.
Well, they only came out and said, like, CD Projekt Red came out like 3 weeks ago. I almost put it into one of the news episodes for November, maybe. But they came out and said, we've confirmed that we're starting production on The Witcher 4. That was it. They just got a confirmation that, like, hey, Witcher 4 is a real thing. And we got this, like, how long was that trailer? Like, 5 minutes? 4 or 5 minutes of, like...
They're just starting production. But this is the scary part, though. Just starting production. And they also mentioned that they're building it on an unknown
NVIDIA.
Yeah, this is PS6 shit, man. This isn't coming out this console generation.
You don't think so?
No.
I mean, I'm happy to wait.
Like, this is going to be like the 50 series graphics cards.
Yeah. It looks great, though. Siri taking on the...
Love to see it. Yeah, I would like to see, because she was always fun as shit to play in the game. Zipping around with her like a little dashy.
I loved at the end we got the voice of Geralt in the original Witcher to say it's time for a new saga in his cool fucking Witcher voice. And I was like, great that they got him back actually even to announce that, because I'm sure he's in the game as well. But man, that trailer looked dope.
He's probably going to be what, like Vesemir.
Just chilling
out at the fucking Cog Moran or whatever.
But look great. She's like, she fights a hag and tries to save this girl from being killed by villagers or sacrificed by villagers. Doesn't help in the end, but yeah, looked. I was just watching that, being like, what an opener.
Yeah, this is another one. Just like the moment I saw the hand, I was like, that's Igni. This is Witcher. Holy fuck.
Yeah. It was cool. That was what you said to me. You were like, The Witcher. He used Igni, and then we saw it was. I'm delighted, man. I think she'll be great, because I've always liked her character, like in the TV show and in The Witcher 3. I was like, yeah, she's pretty cool. Glad to see her taking on the main role, and she looks tough as fuck. And I'm like, yep, let's go. Brings on to our last announcement, which everybody knew. I think the Naughty Dog announcement was kind of one of the big leaks. I thankfully had stayed away from it right up until kind of, I think, Jeff, because it was leaked, mentioned at the start of the show, we've got something from Naughty Dog, blah blah blah. I was like, oh, okay, cool. I know you weren't too hyped about it for the advertisement in the game.
I don't give a fuck, man. And there was just so much product placement. She's like driving a Porsche spaceship.
Here's the thing.
She had like Adidas kicks on.
But this is what I'm okay. Maybe if that's the route the gaming has to go to make AAA games and to save jobs and things like that. Imagine the money that Porsche, Adidas, and I can't remember who the fucking else was in that trailer, have given to Naughty Dog to have their products in that game and to say, hey, great, we've got this money. Now we can... build out a proper...
Now we can pay that other guy, Camille or whatever. What's his name? Who's in the Eternals?
And he's I can't think of what his name was. Yeah, but is he
he's
Indian
the bounty.
He's the bounty. Yeah. But it's a cool. We've got like a space bounty hunter kind of game from Naughty Dog. And what I'm really keen about is that The Last of Us, like the human stories that Naughty Dog have come up with Uncharted and The Last of Us, are great. Really, really good. Really, really interesting. So I'm really keen to see what kind of human stories they come up with in this, like, you know, space bounty hunting you know, game that they have there. Advertisement, that's what I mean. If it means that the, you know, crunch isn't there or doesn't put them in dire straits when it comes to, like, you know, the budget goes over and the time it takes to make this game is going over, if they've got, like, big companies sponsor them or whatever else, I'm like, yeah, if that's what it takes, if that's how we have to change games and to make them work and to not put people into dire straits in the how long it takes to develop a game, I'm okay with that. The Porsche spaceship looked fucking unbelievable, though. I was like, that's pretty cool. If Porsche were to make a spaceship, Chris, it would look like that.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. I don't know. Maybe it's just like the personal bias or like fanboy in me. I think those two trailers should have been reversed.
Yes.
Though.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Witcher 4 is bigger than just like some new.
It was a better trailer. And I think to start off with the Naughty Dog one, that would have been people would have been like, cool, a new IP from Naughty Dog. Yeah. And it seems okay. And then to end with the Witcher 4, which is such a cracking trailer. Yeah, I'm exactly with you. I would have switched them for sure. That was all the announcements. That was the Game Awards 2024, Chris. Marking the Gift of Gaming podcast's second birthday.
Yeah. A lot coming out soon,
yes,
too.
Yeah, like stuff in December as well. Should I mean there's stuff coming out?
I think the Helldivers
DLC
was out after. Oh, I don't even think we talked about that in the...
We didn't actually. Excuse me. Maybe I just missed it in the... Oh, no, I don't even have it here. I think it had a December release date.
I think it was immediately after. Maybe not.
Maybe it was. That's pretty cool. Yeah, delighted for them. They're still, because that was cool. The guy came out in the Helldivers uniform and did a whole speech about freedom and shit like that.
In our quest for managed democracy.
Yes, oh, so good. It's so simple. I love it. To leave on a Chris,
there's a Warframe announcement too. A couple of those.
Oh, Warframe 1999. Excuse me. Yeah, that was a big section. Warframe has been around for so long. I've never
crazy.
Actually. And Portals was another one.
Splitgate. Oh, yeah. That's been on my radar because I found Splitgate the first one like at the end of its lifetime, so I never got into it. I was like, oh, they're sunsetting this because they're planning on a new Splitgate.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it so much.
Do you have a
Fragpunk? Yeah, they mentioned that again.
Fragpunk. So a lot of these came in the ads, which is the problem when I was looking up like announcements
weren't
announcements; they were just came up in the advertisements, which is kind of
hard to. Fragpunk was announced last year too.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have a favorite moment from the Game Awards this year?
Flute guy.
Flute guy. Flute guy every fucking year.
Every time they come, like I don't even know if it's just one guy. Maybe there's like a...
He's got a twin.
Like, yeah, the triplets in there because he's always playing something different every time.
A different style of flute. And at the very end, it zoomed out. It didn't show a clip of him, but he's playing a flute or a trombone or something like that that's tied in a knot. It just looks ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's taller than he is.
Yeah. If you haven't seen this, go and watch the Game Awards Orchestra play the Game of the Year nominee medley, and every time it clips the flute guy, he has a different kind of flute in his hands.
It's like a kazoo.
Fucking unbelievable. Like, wee, wee, wee. And he plays it with such gusto, like, you know. Yeah, that was really, really good. Least favorite bit?
Tough call. I don't know. Probably the drawn out Aaron Paul and
Bailey that was thing. The cringe bit. Yeah. But I mean, it's not a Game Awards unless there's a cringe bit. Yeah. And out of everything announced, what, with the exception of Elden Ring, what are you most excited to see next year that was announced?
Ooh, this is a very tough one. I want to say Mecha Break and Steel Hunters are definitely up there, but like Virtual Fighter 4 just kind of like, I've been expecting Mecha Break for a while. It's been on my radar, but like Virtual Fighter 4 just like punched me in the gut. I was like, holy shit, it's happening.
Yeah, so, we weren't expecting
I haven't played since Virtual Fighter 4, which is a long fucking time ago.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm going to stick with my guns. I still think Mecha Break and Steel Hunters, I just want to experience the different pace of those two. What about you?
I think next year, I mean, the one I'm most excited for, out of all those announcements is Project Robot, but there was no date or release window, so that could be years away. Out of things that were announced and we got a date, I'm incredibly excited for Dave the Diver. Like, really excited. I'm surprised about how excited I am about that. I just fucking love that game. And apart from that, Spit Fiction from Haze Light.
Oh yeah, I forgot about Haze. There's just so there's many. So many. Like,
and aside from that, although it's not done for 2020 until 2026, but Onimusha, I'm so pumped. Like, that's a real teenage me game that I'm very looking forward to revisiting. Yeah, great Game Awards, man. I think Game Awards in a couple of years gone by have always
it's
been
almost
pacing
too
issues.
Much. It's yeah, just like, I can't even process it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to kind of going back and watching these trailers again, kind of like as their own thing over the next couple of days and stuff. But
I
want to
see content creator reactions. I watched the Elden Ring ones and just like, they're just losing their fucking mind. Like,
I watched Maximilian Dude react to Clive being announced for Tekken, and it's funny because it's not an obvious Tekken announcement. It just starts off with Clive in the Final Fantasy 16 world with Ifrit behind him, and in his reaction, he's there with a few of his mates. They're always on his shows. He just
Kenny
stands.
And,
he just he just stands up immediately and he goes, "Clive and Tekken," and they're like, "What?" He's like, "Clive and Tekken." There's a call that, like, you know. Yeah, but I'm looking forward to like looking at all my favorite creators reacting to that kind of shit.
Yeah, he had
as well.
A good reaction to Elden Ring and Virtua Fighter 2. Like, I mean, they love, like, but that's their whole wheelhouse
fighting
games.
So if you guys are interested, myself and Chris on the post show are going to look at what we think is going to be the likely winner of the games that we know are going to be in 2025, what will win the Game of the Year award then, and kind of what kind of some of the categories, what we change or remove or take out. And just a little note, this is the Game Awards kind of marks every year the Gift of Gaming's kind of birthday or anniversary, which is great. So to help us celebrate our second birthday here at the Gift of Gaming podcast, why not check out our Patreon at patreon.com/thegiftofgaming, where you'll find a bevy load of extra content from everything from fantasy fights with our favorite video game characters to extra news episodes and even extra talks of like game awards or things that we're interested in. Check it out, patreon.com/thegiftofgaming, and you'll find so much there for less than a coffee a month. Chris, thank you so much for joining me for this. It's been a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
My
watching
pleasure, man.
And to our listeners, as always and forever, keep enjoying the gift that is gaming. Peace out.